Welcome to the Day One Podcast Extra. This is Peter Wallace, and today we're talking with the Reverend John McCard. John is rector of St. Martin in the Fields Episcopal Church in Atlanta, Georgia. And before that, he served parishes at Marco Island in the Diocese of Southwest Florida, San Antonio, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio. John, welcome.
Thank you, Peter.
You came to your current parish, which is in a major urban or metropolitan community, from St. Mark's Episcopal Church on Marco Island, Florida, which is a seasonal parish or kind of a resort parish. How was that shift for you?
Well, I always kid people and say that God watched me play golf for 6 years and and knew I wasn't getting any better. So I got moved. I answered the call to go somewhere else. But one of the things that was interesting was the geographical diversity of the resort parish, because you had people, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Alabama, come for 6 months, 4 months, 3 months, for limited periods of time. So you had very interesting changes in attendance, where one Sunday you might have 200 people or 300 people, and then the next Sunday you had 100 people because everybody went back home.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, in many respects, a very interesting place to be, because it was based not on a normal school cycle of the year, but on a weather cycle.
How does your work as the pastor or parish priest differ in a parish like that as compared to a typical parish that you serve now?
Well, I'd say one of the things that was evident to me was that I kept up with people even when they weren't there. So people that are attending resort parishes have, in a sense, double the trouble of having two priests,
mm-hmm,
or two ministers. And so I kept up with people not only when they were part of my parish, but also when they were away. Where I am now, you have everybody sort of all the time. So I don't get to send people away for periods of time, and they are with me always, which is a great joy actually, not to lose people,
mm-hmm,
but to have them with you so you can work on longer term projects and do other kinds of ministry.
Well, I'm sure they appreciated that as well. When you were interviewed for the position at St. Martin in the Fields, I noticed on the website you told them that your three primary gifts as a priest are in the areas of pastoral care, preaching and teaching, and the ability to conduct stewardship and capital campaigns effectively. I'm curious as to why you picked those three and why they're important in today's church.
Well, I think the three have always been very powerful to me, as mm-hmm, far as things that clergy need to aspire to. But I think one of our first calls is to be a pastor to people, and that's something I've always, with the mentors I've had throughout my ministry, have always made a very deep impression on me, is to be with people for celebration times, for difficult times, and to be there to hold their hand, to pray with them, and to give them support. And that's something I take very seriously in my ministry. The other part, the teaching and preaching part, I always think that what we need these days in the church are people who are committed to teaching and telling others about Christ, and being able to teach the faith is so important to folks, and what you believe and what the importance of their beliefs, and so I think that can't be underestimated.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you're going to teach the faith, hopefully like the apostles in the early chapters of Acts, you'll get those. Was it 10,000 converts in a day, and that'll lead to growth, and you'll have to raise money to build bigger churches, and the church will flourish. And so I see all three things kind of leading to each other, and are important parts of taking that gospel to the ends of the earth.
It seems that the personality traits to be skillful at each of those three would be slightly different. I mean, do you sometimes feel like you're three different people at times in order to fulfill your calling?
Well, you have to be conscious of the different hats you have on. And one of the things that you are a pastor to people that need your help. But whenever you're in a church, you're also running the church,
mm-hmm,
for the bishop or for whoever's the leader of your particular, mm-hmm, denomination. And so there's an element of trust there that you're called to be a good steward of that which you've been given. And so I feel that each aspect of those three different areas require different skills. And as I said, I'll try to do them as well I can, but you, as in most things, you do some things better than others.
You have young children, three daughters. How do you balance your responsibilities as a rector with those as a father?
Well, that's probably one of, I think, the most important roles I have is the role of a father, and particularly having three daughters, which I think because daughters or women in our culture get such mixed messages about how they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to wear and have and all those things. And I think one of the things that a bishop once said to me was that no one ever dies regretting they weren't at the office, you know, longer. Mm-hmm. So I try to live out my ministry as a priest, but also recognize that my first obligation lies to both my spouse and my children, as far as being there and being able to attend events and do things with them that sometimes, you know, it might be difficult to schedule, but they're still very important.
Mm-hmm. Would you say you have a particular philosophy of preaching?
Well, I always tell people I've sort of followed the same course for many years, where I'll read, I always think of the parable of the sower when I preach, that you throw the seeds out. So I'll read the gospel or the lessons on Monday and let the seed kind of go out. And after a day or two, after it germinates, and hopefully it finds good soil, doesn't run into those thorns. And if it finds the good soil, it'll grow to a sermon. Or sometimes one of the things that I've always been conscious of is the Holy Spirit tends to send you good sermon ideas, usually Wednesday or Thursday. So hopefully I've read the lessons, they've kind of germinated, and by Wednesday or Thursday, something's happened in my life, and usually it's pretty clear that that's what you're supposed to talk about.
I noticed in your sermons, in each case, you had a very approachable, accessible kind of cultural reference that people could attach to, and then you could carry them through in the sermon. Is that something you try to do to relate the message to the culture, to the times?
I try to do that when I preach, because I sometimes feel that sermons are sort of like clothing hooks, where you want to give people a hook to put something on. Mm-hmm. And if there's something in there that they've heard about or know that you're not living sort of tucked away in some tower or basement somewhere. Mm. And I try not to do it too often, but I think it's important at least once in your sermon to sort of bring something in that if they're not listening, they might sit up and say, "Wait, what's he saying about that?" Or let me listen a little more closely, because maybe there's somewhere where the gospel intersects with something I'm watching.
Is there a message that you think people today or people in your sphere of ministry need to hear more from the pulpit?
I think the message that needs to go out really is one that, as I said before, God's great and abiding love for them. God loves them. God has expectations for their lives. God wants to call them to a life of holiness, a life that involves discipline and sacrifices. But I firmly believe that we cannot be truly joyful without God, and we will not find that holiness or that joy that we seek without God. And that's an important message. It's not found in the things people have, the possessions they own, the things they think they want to strive for. And if that message can just get out to people that God does have something for them and is ready and willing to make their lives fuller and richer than they ever could have dreamed or realized.
Father John McCart, thank you for being with us.
And thank you, Peter.